Tonight I'm turning to the Gospel of John chapter 14. I read to you verse 27. Peace I lay with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tonight's theme subject is the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. And as we are considering this, this is a promise of peace by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to his people. And this he assured, at this time he was with the 11, he assured them that he will bring peace to them. And by extension, to all believers who also be saved according to their words, and that is even us today, it is to us also. And as the Lord have said of this blessing to us, it is our duty to also reflect on it, its nature and the manner of this kind of peace the Lord tells us of, so that we will not blur it with what the world calls peace, because he gives us what his peace is when he spoke that he give us peace. So that what the world call peace, probably somebody will say, when I have a secured finances, secure job, a happy family, safe dwelling, good health, good marriage, hassle-free life, achievements, then I'm happy. That's what the world calls peace. You see, but it's different from what Christ is telling us as we continue to look into it. How unstable is worldly peace, as each one of us may have testified, because the sources are unreliable. Whether I have a happy home, good job, it can soon be turned upside down. When I have good finances, it can soon be turned upside down. When I have achievement, it can soon become worthless with modern advancement. When I have a hassle-free life, something may happen and that thing may not be there again. And whatever anyone calls this peace may be turned into bitterness. Whoever wants to rest himself on these things as his comfort of life will be disappointed. And indeed, all who do that have always been disappointed. By and by, one way or the other, disappointment will come, but people rested in this. And always, unbelievers will rest in these things. When things are going all right with me, then I'm happy. But that's what Christ is telling us. He's not telling us that his peace will take us away from troubles. So that's what we are going to learn and think of and reflect on, as we know already. Because the Lord just by himself distinguished for us his peace. His kind of peace which is different from that of the world. And as I said earlier on, we have to always reflect on it so that we not blur it with that of the world, what they call peace. Because sometimes a good Christian can have wrong perception of Christian peace. So that a true Christian may fall into discontent, anxieties, in times of losses, deprivations, distresses and persecutions. So I become distressed under difficult times. I say the Lord has left him, because his understanding of Christ's peace is weakened. What he expects of Christ, he's not receiving in his own mind. And because he looked for it in the wrong way, so he'll be troubled. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what his peace will do for us in times of difficult times, in times of troubles, how to comfort us, he tells us, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He knows the world gives a kind of peace. He knows that naturally we love the peace of the world. He knows that believers can even be deceived to think of what peace we should have to look for, because the common peace we look for is for the world. I mean, the common peace that's around us, it's for the world called peace. So that the comfort of this promise lies, for a Christian to enjoy this promise, lies in how we understand it, how we understand according to Scripture. So that when we affirm in it, it's not that it's in our mind that this is the peace of God, but we are really living in accordance with that. The peace of Christ is like all graces. Every genuine believer is given at conversion. When we come to know the Lord, when He changed our, when we came to repent and ask and confess our sins to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us His peace. I'll speak more about that as we go. How that peace is given us and how we're able to know. He gave us His peace. And then, by then, we have to cherish this peace and cultivate it. Each and every believer has to receive large portions of this. And He taught us how to receive more of this. If we don't do well, we may not receive much of it. Like all the graces and like the fruit of the Spirit and all that. We have to give ourselves to them and pursue them. And they will discover more of it, and then it's abundance and the joy we have to have. So that Christian peace is of one kind. It's the same. The Christian peace is the same. But how we realize it is in degrees. It's like, as I said, with all the Christian graces, each Christian have a measure of these graces. And two Christians may be there, but one may have larger portion of that grace because of how he himself has given himself to the Lord to pursue that. The more we give ourselves to the Lord, the more we know, I mean, the blessings of His grace is for us. So that there may be two believers, but one will really enjoy much of this peace than the other, because one is willing to give himself and submit to Christ and to know more of this peace for his life. Other may not, he's willing, but then he's maybe slow to give himself, because maybe he's holding on to something which is not helping. So it doesn't matter if a believer is poor or wealthy in this world, if his understanding of Christ's peace is not clear, he will be disturbed in times of trials, in times of difficulties. So that when trouble, comes to the life of a Christian, then he's disappointed, he's alarmed, then he feels that the world is against him. Then, probably, though he's a Christian, it tells you that he does not really have that much of Christ's peace. He may have that, but then his peace is less. Because as we go, we realize that Apostle Paul said, the more that sufferings abounds in Christ, the more his consolation abounds for us. So that if Christ wants me to suffer for him, he'll give me more of the peace. So that the more I suffer for him, the more I enjoy the peace. That's how Christian peace is. We'll come and touch more on that. So let's get on much into this, more details into that. So Christ said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, he knew that the disciples then were, they have become sorrowful, because himself, he told them that, "Because I've told you this, I'm going away, you are already sorrowful." But he assured them that, though they will not see him physically, but all that he is to them in presence will be the same in spiritual terms. So they shouldn't be afraid at all. They shouldn't be worried at all. Because they will feel like, "Well, our Savior, our Lord is gone, what will we do?" So he tells us to calm their hearts. And the same thing to us. We don't see Christ, we don't see physically, but then, hey, his blessings are realized by faith in him. He gives us that. So our first thinking here is the nature of Christ's peace. Okay, so the peace of Christ promised to Christians, as I said earlier, as part of his blessing, it's a blessing that comes from his redemptive work. It's a blessing that when he came to die on the cross of Calvary for us, those of us who have gone to him and have given ourselves to him, that he has washed our sins and changed our hearts and made us his people, when he came to do that work for us, it was inclusive that he will give us that peace. And let's look at how that peace began. In Romans 5 verse 1, the Bible tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see, our justification, the beginning, is that which brings this peace to us. And it's linked up to what? Justification is linked up to what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. So being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ's peace to Christians is that peace which originates from the reconciliation of God to a sinner. When God is reconciled to a sinner, that's where the peace of Christ begins. To be known, to be tasted, to be realized. So along all the life of a sinner, it doesn't matter how long he has lived in this world and he has enjoyed the things of the world, well, He may call, he has peace. He doesn't know the peace of Christ. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 57 verse 21, there is no peace with, saith my God, to the wicked. The sinner knows no peace. No real peace of Christ. Until we have laid our rebellion, until we have come and laid our rebellion heart before Christ and submit and ask Him to change our heart, to renew us, we don't know the peace of Christ. We can never know the peace Christ is talking about here. So it's important that if we want to know the peace of Christ, then we should be among the people of Christ that He has saved and changed. You know that the gospel of Christ itself is called the gospel of peace. Romans 10:15. It's called the gospel of peace. God, it pronounces peace to sinners who are rebellious against God. It pronounces peace that if a sinner is willing to lay down his rebellion, God is willing to receive such and really come into his life and make him realize the purpose of his existence and really know the joy of being in this world which God intends. So, the gospel is called the gospel of peace. It's not sad that today the gospel who preach, but the common gospel who preach, it's not the gospel of peace. It's not the gospel that reconciles, God, a sinner to God. It's not the gospel that set before sinners the love of God in Christ and the demand of a sinner to repent and turn to this and turn to God. The gospel that just tells people that God loves you and that's all. A gospel that tells people that you are not a sinner, only that just accept Christ and that's all. No, there should be that reconciliation. The gospel is gospel of peace, where sinners who are loggerheads with God lay down their rebellion and then give themselves to the Lord and He saves them. So it's a gospel of peace because it publishes Christ's propitiation for sin to sinners. It tells people that Christ has satisfied the punishment for sin. So that if you come to God, God has nothing against you, then God will receive you among His children and have mercy on you. So that it gives us the idea of who God, what God has done for us if we turn to Him. So that how do we know that God, we have peace with God? Whenever Christ imparts His peace to a believer's heart, when he's justified, there's a sense that he's reconciled to God. God sends into the heart of such, as the Bible says, the spirit of adoption. We are able to realize, we're able to brought into a sense of understanding that God has saved us. Because our heart is not open to love His word. Our heart is not open to love His Lord that we once ate. The life of holiness that we once ate, we now pant after. We are striving, despite our difficulties, we strive to obey God. And then we are alarmed, and we are worried with our life of sin. Every form of sin becomes a worry to us. We don't just sin and push them into the carpet, under the carpet. We want God to help us to deal with them. It tells us we are alive to God. We love the thing God loves. We hate the thing God hates. So this brings to us that God has reconciled to us. He has now given us a new life which is different from what we had. A life that we once lived in sin, we never cared about it. A life that we once lived for self alone, not caring that Christ has died for sin. But now we realize that until we have we see Christ as our Savior, we are doomed and we are done. You see, so the Lord Jesus Christ, when He imparts His peace to us, to the soul of the believer, he gives the sense of His reconciliation with God. Then the enmity in his heart against God's will is changed. He now delights in His law. As the Bible tells us, every Christian is like Apostle Paul. You see that in that Romans chapter 7, the picture that though the believers struggle with various kinds of sin, but he said that, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Despite all the difficulties, all the remaining sin and the struggle to to try to mortify myself, to submit myself, to deny myself, yet my heart is panting after Christ and wanting to obey God. Though there's this desire in my heart to sway me to sin, yet I'm also drawing myself from it because Christ has given me the strength. And I also now have a desire after God's law, which I once hate. because it goes against my life of sin. So you see, there's a sense that in my heart, I want God's love. It's a sense of reconciliation with Him. You know that sorrows, discomfort, pains, anxieties, and fears of man came because of rebellion against God. All the miseries of sin came because of sin. Before Adam sinned, he knew nothing of sorrow. He knew nothing of pain. I remember Eve was told that because he has sinned, when he's going to even give birth, there will be pain. So women know pain. And not only pain is everywhere. Illnesses and afflictions are all over the world because of sin. Because of our rebellion against him. And we feel this. But then, when he rebelled against God, these things came in. But before then, because his heart and mind, his whole being was submissive to God. So there was nothing like suffering. There was nothing like disquietness. There was peace with him. He had peace with God in the Garden of Eden. But sin came in and disrupted his peace which he had. There was calm and content and order in his soul. The calm and content order of the soul, this is the peace of Christ. For the peace to be calm, despite that, I mean, a difficult situation, to be calm despite all the troubles around, but to be calm the fact that Christ has died for me, and that through his death, God has nothing against me. And then Christ is giving me the strength to really stand and not to be overwhelmed with the troubles of life. This is what Christ called his peace. That despite what is happening, when I know that Christ is with me, I am okay. It's like a father, a child crossing, in a boat, and he's crossing a river, and he's holding his father. Despite the shaking of the river, whatever, let's say on the sea, the storm, he's not afraid, but he holds the father. He doesn't care. But if let the child be alone on the sea without a father, he fears. That is it. So that in the troubles of life, there's so much agitation, but then Christ is with us. Like when he was in the boat with the disciples, when they thought that he was sleeping, then they were afraid that they were going to die. But when Christ arose and spoke to the storm, everything was quiet. So that our walk with Christ is like that. When everything around us seems to shake, because he's with us, he's able to make things to come for us. That we feel that in our soul that isn't any alarm, because we trust that he is there to hold us. The unbeliever don't trust Christ that far. He may do to a point, but he cannot. So Christ's peace is communicated to us, and then it restores that loss. I mean, when it's communicated to us by the Spirit, we are able to bear trials easily. When troubles come, we are not afraid. We are able to bear them. We don't run even away from the trouble that comes to us. So that the redemptive work of Christ have restored this lost peace to the sinner. Though we are in a state of this world still, we have not gotten into that perfection, but yet Christ is able to give us that peace which will make us calm, quiet, despite whatever happens to our life. In times of difficulty, a hypocrite believer or Christian will wait for a while. But he cannot wait for a long time. Soon the stress will come in. Soon he will not know what will happen to his life. And then he will try to begin to find bypasses. And that's the sin. He begins to find ways to relieve himself, whether through cheating, lying, ways that are not pleasing to the Lord. But the believer said, no, let me suffer. Let me suffer and wait when the Lord will come for me. I know that he will come for me. But he has promised. He will definitely find a way for me, so I'll wait for him. So it's only genuine believers that can find solace and refuge in Christ in times of trouble and wait for his help. This is where the peace of Christ comes. In times of trouble, I wait. If you read the psalm, it says, many times it says that I wait on you, O Lord. I am overwhelmed, I am troubled, I trust in that I'm waiting on you. But he knows that when Christ, God appears on him, on his behalf, nothing is able to disturb me. I'm waiting for thee to help me. Why are believers able to really find solace and refuge in Christ? It is because already have tasted how by virtue of his redemptive work they are reconciled to God. They have tested it. They have tasted how their sins have been forgiven them. So they know that God is faithful to be with them in their difficulties. Christ is able to show his presence, to comfort and cheer their heart. So that no matter how troubles come, they are at peace, they are quiet. It doesn't, I mean, they are not shaking in their position. They're able to do so because they have tasted of his forgiveness. They have, they have known how he has saved them, and that they have also felt his presence in their heart when he saved them. So we know that Christ's peace comes to us in such a way, as he has promised, that it's a spiritual matter. It's something that comes to the soul. Christ's peace, it's not necessarily about the outward, it's about the inner, the inner being is strong in Christ, not in us. So there are some people, they have trained themselves to harden themselves against trials, so that it doesn't matter. It's like they are like stoics. It's like, well, I know life is trouble, so I prepare my mind. When trouble comes, I don't think about it. No, Christians are not like that. We feel the pain and everything, but then we draw strength from Christ to comfort our hearts, to delight in him, and still continue to serve him and to continue in his things. So how do we cultivate Christian peace? In Philippians 4:7, the Bible tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see, the Bible connects the peace of the Christian to what Christ has done. God will give us peace because of Christ. He will keep the mind and heart safe from alarm and agitation because of Christ. So that if we are not in Christ, we cannot have this peace. We may fake it, but we cannot have it. We will be a people that will be easily agitated and act in a way as if we don't have any God. We think that we have to do something else, things will not work. No, we wait on the Lord. So we see that Christians have a gracious support in trials. So we are not to allow any situation to make us restless. No situation in life should make a Christian restless, whether it's their losses, whether deprivations, disappointments, persecutions, or weariness. You know that when Christ told them, the disciples, this, they were going to face persecuted life. All their life was going to be persecution. So that this will hold them, knowing that Christ has promised to be with them and comfort them. You know that to the Christian, there's a everlasting foundation, fountain of God's peace. There's that flow to our hearts, and that is preserved for us. It is there that we have to get, like, I use the word of this charismatic, to tap into it, to really give ourselves to it. So God the verse tells us, be careful for nothing. In matters of this world, in matters of life, be careful for nothing. Yes, we have to be careful for our spiritual life, to be a concern, but when it comes to our daily food, what we will eat, what we will wear, how things will happen in our lives, where we will stay, and how we shall be in this world, say, be careful for nothing. How my life will be the next, be careful for nothing. Just come to the Lord and present your fears before him. Just come to the Lord and tell him your trouble. Remember when Jacob was going to meet Esau, he told God, I am afraid of my brother. He told God his fears. And that's how we come. And you know, when he met Esau, things turned out to be quiet for him. There was no alarm, there was no trouble. But he told God, I am afraid of my brother. You see, that's how we tell God of our troubles. We don't cover them before God. We tell them, this is our trouble. And when we tell him, then Christ, our mediator, who has reconciled us to him by his atoning death, the Bible says, by that merit, God shall keep our heart. And the word keep there, that is, God will mount guard and protect our heart and mind from the intrusion of anxious fears and alarms. God will keep. God, that's the word, is that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind. It will keep it. And that is, it will mount guard or protect it from intrusion of anxious fears and alarms. The word keep there is a military term. It is like how a military guard patrols a post. Let's say a border guard patrols a post so that he ward off infiltration. So that if we are truly practicing what the Bible is telling us, the Christian shouldn't be alarmed at all. The Christian shouldn't be worried about anything at all. He said that, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see, sometimes we pray about our troubles, but because we don't believe that God will immediately help us, we are still in trouble. We pray about our situation, and yet we are anxious, because somehow our faith is not strong. But what the Bible says, leave everything you have prayed about it, trust in God, and leave it in His hands. And let Him do whatever He wants to be. And His will be done, only trust that He will be with you. So, and He said that He will keep, He will mount guard and protect our heart. So that whatever happens on the outside, if our heart is calm, we shall not be shaken. If our heart is quiet, and we're able to hold ourselves, nothing will trouble us. But often, while we have prayed about the issue, then we are still troubled because we are still in doubt if God Himself will help us. But this is a promise that God is willing to ward off intrusion of fear, intrusion of sorrow, intrusion of alarms and anxious fears, if we are willing to lay them before Him and leave it there. And we used to have a hymn in the previous Baptist church I was with. He said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He said, leave it there. That is how it is. And He Himself will take it up. Just take your burdens and leave it there. So you see that a life of prayer demands a life of faith. If we are not living by faith, we cannot live by this prayer. We will pray and then still not come. We will still continue to be anxious so that we don't even believe in our prayers. And how can God even answer us if you don't? Is it that he that cometh to God might believe that He is, and He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? So I know God has promised to help me. I lay my case before Him, and then I'm anxious. I am troubled because I don't know how God is going to do that. And that situation, if you don't take it, then we begin to take steps that are going to be disobedient to the Lord. But if I take my troubles to Him, sometimes, well, it's something I think, well, something has to be done. I prayed about it. God didn't do anything about it. It is not in your hand. You leave it there. God Himself will act according to His will. He has not closed His ears to the prayers of His people. He just wants us to submit to His will. I have prayed about this situation, but God knows better than me. I don't dictate to God how I want my life to be. Yes, I've prayed to Him about the troubles, but maybe He wants us to go through that trouble for a purpose. So if He has not relieved me, I should not be worried. I should just ask for grace to continue in His things. You see? So we have this promise told us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. But then we should have this constant trust in the Lord, willing to submit to Him, so we realize this peace. Because Christ's peace will not be realized if we are not willing to submit to God's will. We will never know His peace. Our prayers will pray and pray, and so be anxious, and trouble will affect us. But let's also remind ourselves that this prayer, this promise, is not a blank check. It's not like, well, God, Christ has said that you give us His peace, so immediately I pray about it, then His peace comes. No, there's something we should know. Because whenever God will answer our prayers, then we are living in obedience to His will. I'm sure we know that. If we live according to His will, He hears us. He will hear us. So that if we pray according to His will, He will hear us. He heareth us. So while I'm a believer, I want to know the peace of Christ in every situation of my life, then I should also strive that I am obeying Christ. Not in some portions, in some parts of my life, but entirely. Though I may not be perfect, you know, but I am striving to obey Christ. Else I will not know this peace. The disobedient and the backsliding Christian will be denied the constant flow of Christ's peace. Peace is like a river. You know Psalm 46 we read. There's a river that makes glad the city of God. There's a flow of peace to the people. That makes glad, God's grace brings peace to our hearts. But a life of disobedience and backsliding state of a believer may block the peace of Christ to our hearts. We will not realize it in state of disobedience. In a state of backsliding, we will not know this peace. In Isaiah 48, verse 18, look at what God told the people of Israel. "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandment, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandment." So, the peace of Christ is connected to our obedience to Him as believers. So that if I'm willfully disobeying God, I will not know Christ's peace. If I'm willfully, I know it and I just want to ignore it and go on, I will never know Christ's peace. "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandment, then had thy peace been as a river, it will have flown to you." It's a channel of blessing to us. The peace of Christ must flow, else we will be miserable. Else we will have a very tough Christian life. We will not enjoy the joy, we cannot rejoice so much in the things of Christ. We will be indifferent to the things of Christ, to His service, to His worship, to Christian fellowship. We cannot enjoy it. It must flow to us that we are able to enjoy this thing from Him. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, we are also told again, "Thou will keep him, God, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." It's my mind on God always. It's my mind brought to always have the sense that God is there, God in all that I'm doing. I have that in my thinking, in my desires, in my actions. God is aware. God is watching me. And I'm always thinking of how to please Him. Am I in that position? And then, he said that if my mind is on God in this way, God will keep my heart and mind in peace. The more my heart and mind is about His word and how I can obey Him, I am so much lifted up in thinking of Him and meditating on His word and willing to obey Him in my life, the Lord will be with me. He will have, He said, "Thou will keep in Him in perfect peace." The Lord will keep our mind and heart because my heart and mind are about Him. And had it because He trusted in thee. So while my mind is there, I trust in Him. In every situation, He's only the one I'm looking up to. I don't look up to my own opinions or my own imagination, which I think is right to act so that God's way will be clear. Well, I have to do this so that things of God will work. We know that even the most godly people in the Bible, David and others, there's a record about them. Sometimes they lied. You see? But probably they think that, well, they have to save themselves from a situation. And it's recorded for us. So that if I want to take other options to relieve myself, I will not know the peace of Christ. It shows that I don't trust in God. So that we realize that a complaining Christian shows his distrust in the Lord. If I am a Christian, that there's a hymn that says that if half of the time you have used to complain about situations to other people, if I have used that to pray and truly trust in the Lord, it would be better. Then we know that God's help for us. It's better that we keep all our complaints before God and not to worry other brothers here with our troubles. God is the one we must take our troubles to. And He is the one to give us peace and also answer us. So we see, that is the Christ peace. That will keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. It's my mind staying on Christ. I mean, I'm doing business. I want to travel. I want to do other maybe courses for my education. Will that allow me to be useful to the Lord? Or will I still be able to serve the Lord and still continue? Or that move will lead me to disobey God? You see? If my mind is staying on Christ and God, I'll consider His things first. And then, truly, when troubles come in, when I've considered His things, He'll be with me. I will know His peace. And He'll keep me. And then I will know that He's with me. So that the peace of Christ is not a blank check, as I said. It's something that comes with our obedience. Well, there's illness in my life, a constant illness. I don't know how it's going to go. I am worried about it. If I am that, I'm a Christian whose mind is on Christ, it will not worry me at all. Because I know that even this sickness should take me out of this world. Christ will receive me. And if it's His will that I should continue in it, He'll be with me. And why should I worry? But if we are not those whose minds are on Christ, on God, we will not be sustained. We will not know. His peace will not flow to us like a river. You know that Christ's peace is given to us to sustain us in troubles. That's the one character of Christ's peace. It is given to sustain us in troubles. You know? So it is that the suffering Christian will be the one who enjoys more of Christ's peace. The Christian who suffers more will have more of the peace of Christ in his life. So the more we are willing to bear burdens for the Lord, we will be those that Christ's peace will know more of his peace. If we are willing to bear more burdens, to really deny ourselves and really give ourselves to his service, give ourselves to his things, we will be those who enjoy more of Christ's peace. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:5, for he said that, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Our comfort, Christian comfort, abounds to us when we are suffering more for him. Christians may suffer, but not for Christ. I may, by my own mistakes and foolish decision, I may fall into troubles. And I will suffer. That's not suffering for Christ. No. I'm suffering because my own disobedience. That's different. But here is a Christian who wanted to honor God, who wanted to honor Christ, and he stood his position, he didn't compromise, he didn't give way, and yet trouble came. This suffering for Christ. Here, when I prayed, Christ will indeed console me. Even in my foolishness, when I've fallen into some trouble, if I repent and pray, by and by, though he may let me go through some troubles to correct me, but he will come to me if I really repent. But the main thing is that if I bear burdens for the Lord, he will give me more of his peace. This is the words of Apostle Paul. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Sometimes you just have to sit down and look at the life of the early Christians. Look at Apostle Paul and Silas. They went to preach at Philippi. They were caught, they were beaten. They were thrown into prison. They were told that at dawn they were praising God. It was not a trouble to them at all. At dawn they were praising God. If they do not have the peace of Christ, they couldn't. By our natural heart, we cannot. That when I have been troubled and have, it's like all that I'm doing, it's all trouble to me. And just I rejoice in Christ that I'm suffering for him. Look at the early persecutions of the Christians. They are willing to just stand and suffer than to give way to, the persecutors' will. And some died cheerfully, not being afraid to be killed, because Christ communicated his peace to them. So the Christian peace is something that we have to always remind ourselves what our peace is. It's a portion of the believer. The worldling don't know. The unbeliever don't know this peace. That is why when times of trouble, it leads them to distress. It leads them to all sorts of emotional problems. It leads them to all sorts of... Sometimes they have to even give up their life because they cannot bear the burdens again. But no, the believer is able to bear everything because of the peace of Christ. And it's that which we need to always hold on to. Oh, I'll quickly go through this slide and I'll be done. The part which says that the peace, not the world giveth thee, I give unto thee. The peace of the world. Let's just reflect a little about the peace of the world. Then we come to a conclusion. We come to an end, sorry. So the worldly peace, the worldlings find their peace in wealth. I'm sure you know. Health, emotional, political, economic stability of the world. When the world, there's so-called peace in the world, the unbeliever thinks he's peace. There's peace around him. So that the world promises this peace to those who pursue it. Well, when you have more wealth and health, then you should be happy. So that all my life, I want to live secure. People will say, well, I want to live a life so that when I get to pension, then I'm secure. I don't have to do so much and then I'll enjoy it. It's a deception. When I want to, it's good when we are working, we save for our future, that's okay. But then to think that because I've saved and arrange my thing, I will have peace at my old age, I deceive myself. Yet outwardly, I have peaceful, but you don't have the peace of heart. It's only those who really give themselves to Christ and that in Christ's service, that will know the real peace of the heart. But we know that whatever peace the world has, they are uncertain. They are unstable, and also it is short. Soon it turns out to be a bitter thing. Let me quote you. Somebody said this. The quote. He said that The world may give a man wealth, yet the heart may be suffering in agony under the blaze of diamonds. The world may give riches, but then the heart is not quiet. It doesn't know peace in the heart. The world may give a man fame, but a celebrated actor died of sorrow whilst the city was ringing his praises. Haven't you known many of these? These superstars who sing, sometimes their life becomes so miserable, they die in misery. The people enjoying their music, that also. I can remember of Whitney Houston. I'm sure we know her. Look at how, people love her songs and all that. But at the end of her life, how she died. People still enjoy her life, that also. But her herself never knew the so-called joy people have been enjoying. So it's people who can come to fame, and people will celebrate them and all that, but in themselves, they don't have that comfort that people think we've been to draw from them. He said that the world may give a man pleasure, but that can only ripple the surface. The world may promise entertainment and whatever, happy yourself, party, whatever. But then, deep in the heart, there's no peace in the heart of such who pursue these things. So it is that Christians may pray for the peace and stability of our nation or our lives. It is right to do that. The Lord may keep us in our fiscal situation. The Lord may keep us quiet, though our peace does not depend on that. But whether this is given, the comfort is given or not, it must not affect our commitment, our obedience, and our rejoicing in the things of Christ. Whether my situation is so-called peace as the world thinks of it or not, my service to Christ, my obedience to Him must not be affected at all if I'm a genuine believer. Because if I make my outward circumstances to determine my obedience to Christ, my commitment to His service, then it's something that I'm leading a disobedient life. I'm not living to honor Him. I'm become like the worldling. When things work, they say, fair weather Christian. When things work right and when I think I have good time, then a good time, then I will serve Christ. No, the service of Christ is not about comfort. It's not about convenience. It's about trusting the Lord to help me to serve Him. That's all. The strength to serve Christ as a Christian is not in myself. It's in His strength to give me. So I pray for grace to help me to be faithful to Him. That's all. And I continue to serve. I don't give myself to things. When things in the world, when my finances are better, when my health is better, when my home is better, when my family are running well, when everything, then no. I give myself to serve Christ because of Him. And that's all. God has promised to what? Sustain me. Christ has solid peace to give us, no matter what. And as Christians, and some of us who are not Christians, the peace of Christ is all that we need for our souls. The refuge for our souls is this peace. If we don't really enjoy this peace, our strength will be weakened. We can never be truly, truly strong Christians. And those of us who have not known Him, whatever we think is peace is a lie. The peace only we can have is when we have come and given our life to Christ, when we have laid down our rebellion against God and give our mind and heart to Him. Else, money, fame, riches of the world will be our joy, will be our peace within our world. When I have this kind of dwelling, when I have this kind of a position, then I'm happy. No, it will bring disappointment and bitterness. When my family is doing well, no, that's not the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ is in Himself, and we have to seek it from Him and not from anywhere else. That's why I said that my peace, which is different from the peace of the world, we thank God for temporal and outward peace, but that is not what the believer looks out for. We look for the peace of Christ, which really energizes us to obedience, to more joy in His service, to be meek, to be meek and obedient to the things of God, to be meek in times of trial, to submit to God, to deal with us as He pleases, so that we don't choose our way. And then the more we choose our way, the more we'll not know the peace of Christ. And then our life becomes trouble. Many Christians may sometimes feel trouble and are not happy because they think that God is not dealing with them right. They think that they cannot draw any peace from their situation. No. If we want to draw peace from the things that happens around us, we'll be disappointed. Because even the thing that moves all right soon, it may turn to bitterness. Like Jonah's God. You know, Jonah, when he ran away from going to do God's will, later he returned. And he made a shelter of God, a plant, this plant, God. And his left hand, as soon when the sun rose, it withered the plant. And he was angry against the God. That is how worldly peace is. You build them up. Yes, it is flowery and nice. If you are a believer, you will feel the bitterness. The worldly, when they feel the bitterness, they will switch it immediately because they think they are wise. But the believer, you become disappointed. You can never really enjoy the Christian life without the peace of Christ. And even enlarging the peace of Christ. Not just the peace, we have to enlarge in it so that we shall be a happy people in this world. We shall enjoy heaven on earth. Because in heaven, there is that eternal peace. But a believer can know this in his soul, despite all the commotion in this world. You know that Psalm 46 we read, it says that earth will be removed from its place. So we will not be afraid. Our very existence will be challenged. So that if there's a war in our country, we have to move to different places. Our peace in Christ will not be changed. Our losses of our property and whatever will not cause us to be disturbed because Christ is with us. The God is with us. That's all that we need. Then our peace is stable. But if we depend on these things, one day by and by, we will lose them. And our peace is gone. And then we lose joy in Christ. And then we are not able to commit ourselves to Him. So may the Lord help us as we think on these things, to help us to remind ourselves, to refresh ourselves, and to pursue the peace of Christ each and every day, so that our life as Christians will be more enjoyable. And those of us who have not come to know Him, may you also submit to Christ. Seek Him to really bring to you that reconciliation between you and God by forgiving your sins and giving your life to Him. Then you can also know His peace.